guys, welcome to Tello Talks with Jose and Christina.
Hey guys,
how's it going? Hopefully you guys are ready for this episode. We're gonna, being that it's Valentine's Day, happy Valentine's Day, by the way. We want to talk about intimacy, right? So full disclaimer, you know, it's gonna get a little cheesy up in here, so stay with us. We had a lot of fun putting this together. It's been kind of ongoing and just kind of talking about it, but hopefully you guys will kind of see what we're trying to do here. And we're kind of, the focus is to start the conversation, right? Everybody has heard the word intimacy. Everybody should probably have some sort of understanding on it, as we always have, but that's changed over the years and as our relationship has kind of evolved. So we're going to start, and all this stuff is pretty basic, but towards the end, we're going to give you guys kind of like a little bit of homework, a little exercise that you can do with your partner. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Do you want to get into like the actual definition first before we give them our side of it?
Yes. So hi guys, happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for joining us this week. So intimacy, what is intimacy? Intimacy is an interpersonal relationship that involves physical and or emotional intimacy.
Yeah, so that's the book definition, right?
Yeah.
So our definition, and I do sometimes talk to people about this at work, through just, you know, part of my job. I had somebody tell me, somebody that I actually look up to and respect, they told me that the way they explain intimacy to people is by breaking it down and breaking the word intimacy down into three words, right? And slightly changing it. So intimacy equals into me see, right? And that's a little bit of that cheesiness I was telling you about, right? But I love it because that's really what it means to us. Our definition is anything that allows you to see truly and deeply into who your partner is, right? The other thing that we have to note for the definition of it, as the book definition kind of says, but we want to say it more straight up, is intimacy isn't confined to one thing, right? A lot of people have that stigma of, oh, it means sex, right? Well, sex is one of the most intimate acts that you can, you know, do with someone, but it's just really only one part of it. So we're also going to talk about the other side of intimacy. And I mean, along with that, we should also say and put out there, which we think is kind of obvious, but it's not necessarily accepted, right? Which is that you can build intimacy with, you know, friends and family and you know, with the whole family. And there's really things that build trust and intimacy and connection. They're all kind of linked.
You say, right? There's different levels of intimacy.
Right. So for the context of this, I think we're going to stay more towards the relationship side, but a lot of it does kind of apply towards, you know, how you see it. So
yeah.
Stay open-minded and, you know, hopefully we can stay on task here with how we want to explain this. So let's see, do we want to get into lessons learned, like how, you know, we've always kind of had an understanding and known kind of what intimacy is, but it's never really been something that we fully grasped, as I think we've done, you know,
recently
in a relationship. And I say recently as in like the past 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
But we've been together for, you know, about 13 years, so 4 years does seem more recent. So do you wanna start us off with that, baby? Like, what are some of the lessons we've learned along the way?
A lot of lessons.
Yeah, well, too many to talk about
in one talk. But yeah, I definitely think, you know, again, we were young when we got together, so we were immature. Mm-hmm. We weren't really knowledgeable of how to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, how to
not just be individuals.
Yes.
But how to be
partners. Yeah. So I think in the beginning of that relationship, there was no connection between us. Mm-hmm. There was definitely the love there for each other. You know, we cared about each other, but I think, you know, we hadn't we weren't connecting on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. We weren't connecting beyond just that.
Yeah.
So it took us a lot to get to where we are now. Mm-hmm. And I think mainly because you especially when you joined the military, you were brought in. It's so funny how everything worked out, because we went through a long period of us struggling and trying to connect and trying to figure each other out and ourselves out, that when you joined the military, like, you were put in the position where you had all this information, all this knowledge that we were able to be, that was just put in front of us. So I think that helped us. It's not that I think, I know that helped us build that connection more with each other.
So we both, and we both agree that, you know, everybody learns throughout, you know, their life as they grow as a person, and they, you know, come to understand and realize things that they kind of have always known. But it was really kind of thrusted, or, you know, it really kind of came upon our life because of my work. So I have a unique job. I haven't really talked about that, but, you know, just to say that I was put at the Family Life Center, which focused on, you know, the chaplains in the army working with other couples that maybe wanted to just kind of strengthen their marriage, gain some new tools on how to, you know, build intimacy and trust and love within their marriage. And they also did, you know, a lot of counseling with couples that were struggling and stuff like that. And so, but that was a very unique position. Like, out of, you know, the, I don't know how many hundred jobs there are in the military, that was the one that I chose it because I liked what the job entailed, but, like, this was the focus of the job. It was an even more unique position within the unique position. So, there was a lot of things that I learned working there and with the other programs that I was involved in. I love going out and doing the, like, big, what do you call them, like, seminar? Or,
like, conference events.
Like, conference, events that we did. And yeah, so that started to strengthen even further the things that we had already learned.
Right?
It put into perspective and explained the things that we knew. Right? So when we tell somebody, you know, do you know what intimacy is? And they go, oh, yeah. You know, like, everybody just kind of assumes, like, I've got that all figured out and under wraps. And the truth is, we don't have it all figured out and under wraps. But there's always more that you can learn. Right? There's a deeper understanding to some of these things. So
I really think that us being, you know, moved to a completely different state, and it just being me and you, that also created a stronger connection bond between us, because we relied on each other. So that we gave us the opportunity to build on that intimacy.
Kind of isolated us and put us in a place where we just focused on each other. Yeah, I mean, we miss the family and friends back home and everything, but the one good thing that came out of it was we really didn't have those other relationships. Like, we would talk on the phone every once in a while with family back home, but, you know, that's the lesson that was learned from that, was that we could focus on, hey, do we get our happiness from each other? Or do we get our happiness from ourselves? Or do we get it from both of that? Or do we get it from all the other people and other relationships around us? Or, on the other side, do the relationships with our friends and family and other people around us, does that affect our relationship together negatively? Right? So we were kind of put in a, you know, speaking scientifically, I guess you could say, a controlled environment for this experiment, right? We had no choice in it, but it's just kind of the way our you know, cards were dealt, and it turned out for the best. You know, it was really a test for us. You know, what do you think about that? Like, it just, it really was, right?
I think that could have easily broken us. You know, just as much as it built us up, because we had to, you know, when we had an argument or we had a disagreement, we forcefully had to sit down and talk about it, because where was I going to go? I couldn't just be like, you know what? I'm just going to leave. I'm going to go to my mom's house.
My friend's house.
You couldn't do that. So it was like, we had to sit there. And once we were calm, we would talk and we would, you know, find a solution to whatever the problem was.
And you know, that wasn't as much of a struggle for us as it was earlier on in our relationship, but it was still a struggle in a way. Mm-hmm. And I think we both kind of ironed that out, you know, along the way. So anyway, that was one of the things that through our experience helped us learn some of the lessons on it and helped us build the intimacy.
Yes. And also, I think us being just, you know, me, you, and the kids in a different state, we were our truest selves with each other.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we are around friends and family, they all get a little piece of you.
In a different way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But in this environment, it was just me and you. So we were vulnerable with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, which could be, you know, depending on how you look at it, it could be straining mm-hmm. on your relationship, or it could be strengthening it.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, guys, the whole goal of this is to get you guys thinking about, first of all, what does intimacy mean to you? Right? Ask yourself that question and then maybe have that discussion with your spouse. You know, this isn't some new, you know, mind-blowing new revelation or creation that Christina and I have just... A lot of people have had this conversation. A lot of people understand this much better than we do. But being that it's Valentine's Day, we wanted to bring it back up and mm-hmm. talk to you guys about it, because Christina and I have this thing about Valentine's Day, right?
Yep.
Where Valentine's Day, you know, a lot of people would agree, I think, that Valentine's Day is not the only day we love and show our appreciation for each other, right? We do little things here and there for each other. If ever there's something that we want that may be not so little, we make a plan and see how we can make that happen for each other, mm-hmm. right? So, but around Valentine's Day, for example, I've gotten you a couple of things, you know, in the past like week or so.
Yeah.
And after that, I'll probably, you know, continue to do little things here and there. And that's just part of how I like to kind of, how do I say it? It's my protest against Valentine's Day. But yet I still show you affection
yeah.
in this time.
Yeah.
And love. And I spread it out because it's not just confined to one day.
Yeah.
And you know, little things here and there that happen throughout the year. So.
And I just think it just causes more stress Valentine's Day.
Right.
Because it's just, oh, what am I going to get my spouse? Or I need to find a place to go have, where we're going to go have dinner, you know, like mm-hmm. it's just.
All those other things that really don't matter.
Yeah.
That really don't build that intimacy. I mean, they could, depending on how you do them,
mm-hmm.
under what circumstances and all of that. But I feel like sometimes that just causes more pain than connection.
Yeah.
So, do you have anything else you want to add to lessons learned or just, you know, how we see it for intimacy?
I mean,
there's a lot that we could.
I know. I mean, intimacy, when I think of it and when I hear intimacy, you know, I think of the hugging, the kissing, the holding hands, because mm-hmm. like, you know, we said there's different levels aww. Of intimacy. You know, we hold hands until our hands start to get sweaty and then we stop. And then you have, you know, which is for, I see it as a deeper level of intimacy is yeah. like I said, when you're able to be your truest self with someone. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're not married, it could be a best friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be a parent, it could be someone else, but someone someone that you can just be yourself around and just be comfortable around.
Mm-hmm.
And know that they're not going to judge you.
How about this? Let me ask you this. Let me call you out on this.
Yes.
Uh-oh. How difficult is it though? I mean, do you think everybody has somebody that they can share that type of connection with and on an intimate level? And also with that, I'll ask, how easy or difficult is it for you to do that?
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Ugh. So for me, it's hitting a bit, you. I know, not physically, right, not no, really, yeah. yeah. No, with your
know.
Words. You're
let
hitting me
know.
With your words. So for me, it is difficult to be vulnerable with you or with anybody. I have improved from where I was before, and that's mainly because of the fact, you know, of being hurt by people who I trusted, you know, from previous relationships, from people who hurt me you know, when I gave my trust to someone, they totally betrayed me. So definitely I still do have those walls built up that kind of prevent me from being as vulnerable as I can be, because it's still hard. It's, you know, but it's a process for me, you know, getting through those barriers little by little. But but it is something that I acknowledge that I have now that I never acknowledged before, because there was never anything wrong with me before when I saw it. But I can acknowledge it now, and I am focusing on that, on just, you know, knocking down those barriers.
I wonder how many people, and the reason why I ask that is because I think that a lot of people can identify with that, right? Our relationship is kind of unique in that sense that for us, it's kind of the opposite of what's like the cliche of like, oh, a woman's always trying to share her emotions and talk, and the man's always like, oh, whatever, I'm trying to watch football. For us, it's kind of opposite, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like totally, you know, aware and able to communicate how I'm feeling with you. And although you may be mostly aware and stuff like that, it's still difficult for you to communicate that. So for me, it's been a process to learn to not judge you or, you know, get defensive or assume or any of that, not be negative about it. Just understanding that, that it's a process for you and it's difficult, and really appreciating it when you do open up, right? And then that allows more of that to happen.
Yeah.
And so, guys, I'll call you guys out. You know, you want to be big, bad, tough dude over here. But honestly, it takes a lot of strength and a lot of, you know, being comfortable with yourself, being secure in your masculinity, you know, to be able to say, you know what, babe, I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that way.
Yeah.
And not react, you know. That self-control and being aware of your emotions, that's some manly stuff right there. Boom. So just to say that. All right, so should I get into the little exercises that we like to do with the retreats and stuff like that with the couples, or do you want to say anything else on that?
No.
You think we've covered it?
I think so.
If you remember anything, we can always
go talk back to it. Yeah.
Okay. So a cool little thing that I'll recommend that you guys do with your loved one, your partner, your spouse. So we've talked about the more emotional side of it, right? But I feel like we should at least touch on the physical side of it.
Okay. Let's get physical.
Let's get physical. Business time.
The
right?
song comes in my head.
I know.
Let's get physical.
Do that dance again? No, they can't see it. Okay. So, yeah, look up Flight of the Conchords, Business Time, right? It is hilarious. And I like to show that video. It's just a short little video clip. If you know Flight of the Conchords, you'll immediately probably start laughing because you've probably seen it.
They're hilarious.
Or know what it's like. But Flight of the Conchords, Business Time, right? And they touch on this. They kind of, more in a comical way, touch on the subject of the physical intimacy or lack of, right? And so for us, we just had to get really honest, right? And we talk about that. And we've done these exercises and they've really helped us. In connecting and understanding each other instead of just resenting each other and assuming, you know, oh, well, they don't love me because they don't want to have sex as much, or I want more of this instead of that, you know, and talk to each other about that stuff, dang it. And don't do it, like, that's just my advice. That's
There's
just
nothing
coming
to be embarrassed about.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing to feel shame about, and there's no reason to shame your partner about it, right? Like, talk to each other about it is my two cents on that, and be open and non-judgmental, right? So the exercise here, so I'll kind of challenge you guys to talk about, I'm going to talk about four types of physical intimacy, four types of sex, right, that you can have, and then a quick little exercise to spark discussion on this with your partner or your spouse, and hopefully you guys can amicably, you know, come to some understanding of what each other's needs are. So the first type of sex, I'll call it, is the homegrown, right? Which is pretty much the, I'm more comfortable, you know, having sex when we're in the comfort of our home at night, you know, if you have kids when they're asleep, you know, or whatever it is in your own bed, homegrown, right? It's more comfortable, kind of tends to be the one that's more readily available, I think. Yeah. But it's like a default setting for most people. So there's the homegrown. There's the quickie, guys. Don't just immediately go to the, oh yeah, the quickie. I know that one. Yeah, no. So there's that one. I don't need to explain the quickie, right?
I think that one's the default too.
Yeah, that one's default for a lot of people. And so, but it's important because look, you and I, it was surprising to me when you were like, I actually like the quickies. I was like, what? That's what? So for us, it was important to discuss it in order to understand it, in order to not resent each other for it.
Yeah. Right?
So, and anyway, so we mentioned the homegrown, the quickie. There's the wine and dine. Obviously, it takes a little bit more planning and effort, mm-hmm. right? And being able to do that is difficult sometimes, depending on your schedule, depending on whether you have kids or, you know, sometimes you don't have the money to go out and do this and that. But there's ways, and if it's important, you can do it.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't have to be like the most expensive restaurant every week. You
don't
know?
Have a picnic somewhere on the beach or...
You're so romantic, babe. Oh my gosh. So there's the homegrown, the quickie, the wine and dine. And the last one I'll mention is, the adventurous or spontaneous. All right. Warning. Do not get injured or arrested. I will put that out there. Okay. Don't tell me. Don't come back and say, hey, Jose said to this, right? And I got injured or arrested. No. So the adventures are spontaneous. I mean, I'm not going to give you any examples, guys, because I don't want to give you any ideas, right? And try your own risk, right? So just don't get hurt or arrested. I'll leave it at that. You know what it is. So being that I just gave you these four, I'll go over them again. Homegrown, quickie, wine and dine, and adventurous or spontaneous. Talk about with your partner. Say, okay, first of all, how many times per week or per month or whatever you guys agree on, whatever time frame, how many times, let's say per month, would you like to have sex, right? What would be satisfying for you? What number would be satisfying for you, right? And don't tell each other, just write it down. And then say, out of that number, so let's say you put down 30, okay? I want to have sex 30 times a month, okay? I do. No, so let's say that's your number. And you write it down. Obviously, don't show each other yet. And then decide out of that, however many times, out of that number, how many of those times would you like it to be homegrown? How many times would you like to be quickie? How many times would you like to be wine and dine? And how many times would you like to be adventurous or spontaneous? Guys, don't put down 30 quickies, okay? Just throwing that out there. But yeah, you might be surprised, you know, and we were kind of pleasantly surprised.
And most couples are when we do it at the events.
When we do this exercise, with other couples at the events, they're like, oh, wow, really? You want more of this? Or you actually like that or this and that? And it's funny because you would think that this is something that most couples talk about and know. And the problem is that we fall into assumptions.
Yeah.
Right? And I won't even get into that. That's a whole another topic for another time. Yeah. So, there's your four types of sex that, you know, I'm just bringing up. If you have more, let me know. I'm kind of scared to put that question out there because I don't know what'll come back. But anyway, have that discussion, guys.
Yeah.
That right there is going to help you build intimacy on that level, on a physical level, and understanding for each other, right? And then the last part of it is, I'll leave you with this. So a lot of the times people fall into, like, let's say for you and me, what works is we like to get up a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, for example, I like to exercise or, you know, we exercise together or we like to read a book or meditate or pray or, you know, do whatever it is we're doing in the morning just to get ourselves kind of together.
Yeah, before the kids wake up in the morning.
Before the kids wake up, right? And in that time, whenever we're doing what we're doing individually or together, we'll sit and have coffee and we'll talk.
Yeah.
I love that time. Right, it's not a big expensive date, but that time for us is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we get to have lunch together, you know, whenever we get to whenever I get a day off from work or
whatever. Or when you come get off early or the kids are still in school.
Yeah. There's, you know, there's days where I work weekends. So then during the week while the kids are in school, I get to take one of those days off or a half day off. And that really is time for us to connect because it's just you and me.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever it is that we do, as long as we're, it's just you and me and yeah. we're able to just sit there and chill and have a coffee or whatever. Mm-hmm. Smoothie. I mean, we both love coffee. I feel like you say that a lot.
Oh, because we love.
Yeah, but we do drink a lot of coffee. So, but that's what it is for us, right? So whenever it is you get a chance to be with your partner or your spouse, and you can talk about this, I think sometimes people fall into the, oh, what are we going to do this weekend? Or they start planning or they start, hey, did you pay that bill? Or, you know, there's other things that are going on in life around you. Mm-hmm. And I think Valentine's Day is a day where people tend to try and get away from that mm-hmm. because it's the day that tells you you should.
Yeah.
And they start trying to focus on building intimacy. But here are just a few questions, right? I love the book. The book that we got these questions from, I've had it for a while, right? It's called Now We're Talking by Robert and Pamela Crosby. And it's questions to build intimacy with your spouse. So if you get a chance to look that up, I recommend it. It's just a little tiny book, but it has a bunch of little gems in there.
Yeah.
And info. So here are some of the questions. I'm not gonna give you too many or get too into this, but here's some of the questions. What is your absolute favorite dessert to have in a restaurant and why? So that's a very simple, kind of low level intimacy builder.
Yeah.
And that's just an example of some of the basic things that you can discuss or ask each other that maybe you kind of already knew, but never really talked about it. Maybe there's a story behind that dessert, you know, maybe, hey, my grandma used to make this for me or, yeah. you know, whatever it is. So little questions like that, they're kind of low risk, you know, not really a big deal, but still building intimacy.
You're still getting to know the other person.
Right. And then you can get into different questions. So there's different levels of intimacy. Like we said, there's different types of questions that would spark different conversations. Mm-hmm. The point of it is not to get into an argument, right? Not to resent each other or start feeling, you know, personally attacked or start attacking each other. The point of it is just to understand
yeah.
and listen to something about your partner that maybe you didn't know. So here's another one. What is one thing you just wish you had more time for? Now, I think we both love that question.
Yes.
That's something that we've grown a lot in because we understand that there's things that you want to do by yourself or mm-hmm. as an individual.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And we don't resent each other for that. We yeah. actually try to support each other in that.
Yeah.
And how awesome is that? To know that, like, hey, I like to do this and my spouse supports me in it and doesn't resent me for it.
Yeah.
Right? That's going to grow your own happiness. And grow the happiness, you know, the satisfaction in your relationship yeah. because of it. So, yeah, that's a good question, I think. Let's see, here's another one. How can I more effectively encourage spiritual growth in the lives of our children? Now, this is one that we talked about, and it's. I just have to point it out. When we say spiritual growth, we're not just talking about one thing. There's many different interpretations of what spiritual means, yeah. spiritual growth means. And it's funny because this is something that's been coming up in my work mm-hmm. quite a bit. So we want to be able to support anyone and everyone in whatever their spiritual growth is. And one of the things that I tend to ask, because my job does kind of revolve around religion, is I ask, do you follow a set faith or religion? And when people say no, they kind of have this look on their face, right? Like, no, that's just not me. And they think that it's going to be followed by judgment or me trying to like Bible thump them and convert them and, you know, dunk their head in a bowl of water and baptize them right then and there. And that's just not me, right? Yeah. Like, that's just not me. If it's part of my faith, great. If it's not part of yours, great. But understanding spirituality and having that discussion with your spouse and having the discussion about how you want to navigate that with your children mm-hmm. is very important, right? Even if spirituality to you is not necessarily religion, then what is it? Because when people answer no to that question, when I ask them if they have a set faith or religion, it's usually followed by, okay, well, what is it that you believe in?
Yeah.
Because everybody believes in something, right? Whether that be your family, your country, your culture, whatever it is. Shopping. I believe in shopping. That's my spirituality right there. I've heard that quite a bit. I've also heard people say, spirituality to me means going out in the middle of a lake and fishing for a few hours, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is for you, you know, I respect that.
Yeah.
So that's a great discussion and topic to discuss there. Let's see. Another question. I'll try to just do a couple more. And here's where the level kind of goes up a little bit. Do you know how much I need you in my life? Do you realize the ways in which I need you? And have I told you lately? That's a three-part question.
Yeah.
But that's deep, right?
Yeah.
How would you define intimacy? And what makes a marriage or a relationship truly intimate? I think that's the question everyone should start with.
Yeah.
Right? How would you define intimacy? What does intimacy mean to you? And then what do you think would make our relationship more intimate? I mean, building intimacy through talking about what intimacy means,
yeah,
is like probably step number one.
Yeah.
Or should be, in my opinion, right? And then moving forward, when you're able to not resent each other, you can ask questions like, what impact does fear have on your ability to dream, discover, and dare to try new things in life, right? Fear is a huge roadblock,
yeah,
for a lot of us, and was for us as well in the past. So let me see, this is a good one. If you could erase fears in your life, which one would you erase first? I mean, think about that. Your partner may not have even thought about this themselves, and so at that moment they get a chance to think about that and express to you a fear which they would really like to erase.
Mm-hmm.
And then just through being aware of that, just through knowing that, you could be more empathetic, you know, towards your partner.
Yeah.
Having that empathy really builds intimacy. I think understanding what it is that's important, or what are the fears, or what, mm-hmm, are the dreams and the desires of your partner.
They might have a fear that you probably didn't even know they had.
Yeah. So, or even if you did know it, you know, maybe that's your opportunity, your time to,
yeah,
to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so, wow. So, yeah. So we've kind of gone through a little bit about, you know, the definition of it, how we define it, some of the ways that
the
we learned it, the physical side of it, you know, the emotional connection. And those last couple exercises talk about your need for physical intimacy together, mm-hmm, and how much of it and what type or what it looks like for you, mm-hmm, what it is that you want from that. And then also ask each other questions and talk about things other than the bills, guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean the Buffalo Bills. So talk about things that are not just, you know, things that happen on a day-to-day basis, yeah, and stuff like that. Really connect with each other. Really be intentional. Be silly with each other. I have some other things that I'm not going to get into, but there's other questions that you can ask that may seem random and really, really help you connect, right? I think that hopefully everybody goes home, and everybody who listens, hopefully everybody goes and tries this.
Yeah, definitely let us know if you are with your partner and you guys have the conversation and about one of these questions. I mean, we don't want to know details, but yeah, just let us know if it did help you to connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So thank you very much for listening, guys.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Connect with each other more than just on Valentine's Day. Talk about intimacy and connect.
Yep.
And continue to chime in and let us know. And you know, we get messages sometimes, you know, just on Messenger. People sometimes don't want to post comments, and I get that. People don't want to engage in a conversation out there in public, but definitely talk to us. And we love engaging with you guys, and we love talking to you guys. So definitely continue to give us your questions and your feedback and stuff like that. It means a lot to us. All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Bye.